What's up, my friends? It's Rick Mulready here. Listen, if you are feeling like you're struggling to keep up with all the AI opportunities, or maybe you're wondering how to even start leveraging AI in your business without all the headaches, the AIify newsletter is designed with you in mind, my friend. Every week, I simplify AI for you, showing you how to apply it and integrate it into your business so that you can work less and profit more. As one of my readers put it, it's a must-have for any entrepreneur who wants to get more done in less time. And they said there's a lot of noise out there and your information is up to date, yet just feels more calm and more relatable. So I want to invite you to sign up for the AIify newsletter. It's free. Just go to rickmulready.com/newsletter. That's rickmulready.com/newsletter.
Well, hi there. Welcome to another episode. And this one is quite special because you're listening to the Before We Hit Record Monday segment. And I got here, Dallas Travers. And basically, if you're a coach who serves everyday people and you need to know her, especially like her ripple effect system that teaches the exact steps for attracting paying clients, building your list daily, and then scaling your business with a course so you never have to ask again, what should I do today? She's the host of a top-rated podcast called Coaches on a Mission. And basically, if you're a values-driven coach or you want to have some values, you should listen because she talks about having freedom and confidence and the impact that comes with being a prosperous coach and having a prosperous coaching business. And she's also the founder of The Hive, which is a one-stop mentorship program for coaches who want to turn this coaching thing into a life they love. And if you're watching the YouTube channel right now, you can see Dallas so patiently smiling as I muddle my way through her intro.
I'm actually sitting here looking at myself and I look like a floating head. My sweater is the exact same color as the wall behind me. So it's just like this.
A bit of chameleon action going on right there, which is good. Like, I'm happy to have you here because this is the first official Before We Hit Record. And you kind of just joined the studio and we started to have small talk, which is always so good. And we never hit record. So we hit record. And now we get to connect. So
our small talk. Yeah.
Right. I guess I'm pretty random. And so we're going to start out with something a little more random, which is, how did you get to have such good copy? We'll get back to getting to know you in a moment, but I'm looking at your website. And I know, like, in the next episode, that's where we're going to do the more typical expert guest episode. And
yeah,
talk about the things that you're a specialist in. I really am curious to ask you then about what unscalable marketing is and how it gets such high ROI for your business. But first, randomly, your website, when I went to it and I read it, you have no idea what I'm going to say. But I went and it said, say bye-bye, Course Graveyard. Say hello, The Hive. And I'm like, I like this lady. Did you write your copy on yourself? Like,
I wish I could. No, actually, I don't wish I could say I did. So let's give a huge shout out to Christina Torres. Okay. Her website is runandtellthat.co. I'm a great copywriter. I really am. But I feel like it's really hard to write your own copy. I don't know if you have that experience, but yep. Christina, we did an overhaul, I don't know, like 9 months ago to the site, and that is all her.
Cool. I like it.
Yeah.
So as I get to know you, as you get to know me too, I find it kind of interesting that, did you DM me or did I DM you on Instagram?
You made the first move.
I did.
Okay. Yeah, that was all you.
Hopefully it wasn't too creepy or salesy or whatever.
No, not at all. I feel like it was probably through Brenna McGowan that we started to become aware of each other. Does that feel true to you too?
Yeah.
Brenna's fantastic.
So some person who you never met, and you let me ask you a bunch of questions about your funnel because I wanted to do an episode about it. That's right.
Yeah, right. You know, it's interesting because, so we're recording this in February of 2024. Mm-hmm. This year, I really made two promises to myself. One was, every day I'm just going to ask the question, I wonder how good I could feel today. So I'm doing a lot of random stuff for my health and energy. I'm happy to share. Okay, but the other one is like, what can I say yes to? So you showing up in my DM saying, hey, I want to analyze your funnel. I'm just really saying yes this year to as many things that feel aligned without getting too, without worrying too much first. Okay. So it was great timing.
All right. I'm thinking, I just Googled it. I'm thinking of that movie where Jim Carrey, like, doesn't he just say yes to everything? And the whole movie is just everything that unfolds? Or is that another actor?
It could be. I'm not too much of a Jim Carrey fan. I'm not anti Jim Carrey, but okay. I haven't seen many of his movies.
That's okay. I mean, this if you were anti Jim Carrey, this is where you could make your stand.
This is the place.
It's interesting though, like we have these episodes and we talk, and you know, back in my day, people used to like sit down for coffee and get to know you, and then after they know you and felt comfortable with you, then they're thinking of making a decision to like do business with you or get to know you further, you know. And I guess this Monday segment was just birthed out of a desire for me to get to know the other folks who I like rub shoulders with on Instagram or in Mixer Minds, because like I'm just down here in Mexico lonely, like doing my online business thing behind three monitors, and like I need to get out a little bit. So here we are.
Yeah, no, I can relate to that. So yeah. I live in Portland, Oregon, and my office is in the attic. It's cute, right? It's like a very nice attic, but I'm still like up in the attic every day. And I don't know if you feel this way, but my work, I get so much engagement with the members of my community, with colleagues, that I can almost fool myself into thinking I am making connection, but it's a different kind of connection than sitting across the table having coffee or just chatting without an agenda, for sure.
Yeah. Chatting without an agenda. That might be like the subheader for Monday's segment for like today's episode. Maybe I have to change it. I thought I was going to stick with before we hit record, but it might be chatting without an agenda too.
I don't know. I think before we hit record is, I would listen to that. I want to know like what are people saying before. It's like the hot mic sessions almost, right? Almost. Like, what are people saying when they're not showing up to deliver? Yeah,
right. Well, I mean, you are delivering. I feel like you have quite a bit of experience being on a podcast, obviously, because you're the host of your own podcast. What is that? Is in your background? It does look cool. Is that the ladder to get down from your attic, or is it just?
Oh my god! No, it's cool background. It's just like a little design. Okay. A little piece of art there. Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It reminds me of Zoom back in the just kind of into the pandemic days, where you would like spin your computer around and show like what everything looks like just off camera. Just and off- yes, it looks immaculate off camera too.
So, can I ask you a question? I have two questions.
Yeah, no, we're getting to know each other.
Cool. Let's do it.
Questions you want.
So, you mentioned, I'm not going to get the word right, but you called yourself either quirky or weird or random. You called yourself random. So I want to know, like, what is something that makes you random?
So my wife is always saying that even after 14 years, like, she still doesn't know what's going to come out of my mouth.
Oh my God.
I'm pretty reserved when it comes to, you know, presenting myself in the online business space and on social media. But like in real life, I'm very random. So that makes me random. Like, It's still like 14 years later. Yeah. 14 years later. We've been married 14 years, almost 15. And frequently, maybe at least like 2-3 times a week, like the stuff I say, she'll like spit food out of her mouth or spray like whatever she's drinking. Like, it's just random and funny. So that's what makes me random.
I got it. I got it. Yeah, I have my husband is similar. He has the weirdest sense of humor. Okay. I've ever seen, and I get it. So I love it. But most, I would say maybe 80% of people do not get his humor. So then he's just a weird guy.
Okay. Sounds like maybe we have something in common. I'd have to see his humor. Yeah.
I think so.
So how long have you guys been married? 13, you said?
No, we've been together since 2003.
Okay.
So what is that? We're coming on 21 years together.
21 years.
Married for 17.
Okay.
Yeah.
Those are some successful stats.
Yeah, right? Yeah. We have a 9-year-old daughter.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So we're just, nine-year-old daughter, two dogs. But yeah, you know, and the thing for me, when I think about my husband, I like him more than I love him. Like, I love him like crazy, but you got to really like your partner, right? Like spending time with them. And he's just my buddy. Like, he's a lot of things, but we really authentically enjoy time together.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Like, I think every relationship is different, but like the ones where you just like spending time, like with your spouse, that just, it's a blessing. I really do feel like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Agreed.
But he's at home too?
Yeah.
Or does he go off to business or off to work?
No, my husband's a stay-at-home dad. So cool. Yeah. Cool. So he's home. He also, when we met, he was an actor.
Really?
In Los Angeles. Yep. And so my husband is half Korean and he was just
getting like more and more intriguing.
I know, right? Way before his time. So as an actor, he would often be told, like, what are you? Literally, people would say that to his face. What are you? So there's a whole conversation there. And then they would say, like, I don't know where to put you. I can't cast you because they couldn't, because this mixed ethnicity. Anyhow,
he sounds like he's around my age, maybe was born somewhere in the 80s or late 70s.
No, I was born in 77. He was born in 74. So he's 53. Okay. Is that right? Anyhow, but long story short, we moved to Portland and he's been acting. He's teaching acting. He's been in a number of way more projects up here than in Los Angeles. And so that Kwejo has been so incredible to see him like singing his song, right? And really living his purpose in an unexpected way. And it just really inspires me so much. It's really cool. Mm-hmm.
That is really cool.
Yeah.
I'm picturing like him teaching a really cool, memorable class at a university. Maybe I'm pulling scenes from like Dead Poets Society.
Yeah. So it's experimental theater. So he kind of rolls around on the floor.
Really? Because I don't know what experimental theater actually is.
Like, yeah. So we went and saw a production that he was in. My daughter, she's 8 at the time, and the whole time. And we went with a friend. And at the end, our friend, an adult, she said, I did not get that. I'm like, yeah, me neither. It's just wacky experimental theater. So, yeah. But yeah, so that's my husband. Now everyone knows way more about my husband than I think this is the most I've ever talked about him in a business arena ever. Yeah. And hopefully he'll never hear this. I don't know if he wants me talking about him, but
well, hopefully the love of your life will be okay if you talk about him. But everybody has, you haven't shared anything like scandalous. I mean, basically he told me with what he does, like he was TikTok famous before there was TikTok. If there was TikTok back then that's, he would have been
there
TikTok.
There you go. Famous. That's funny.
Yeah. So born and raised in Portland or area?
I'm Canadian.
Okay. There's the accent. Then, I didn't want to jump to that, but okay. All right.
Immigrated as a kid to the U.S. Okay. And then I spent 20 years in Los Angeles.
Oh, wow.
My first business was actually, I was a marketing coach for actors, which is how I met my husband. Okay. He was a client, if you really want to get scandalous. So there's a whole story there. But we've been up in Portland for 6 years now. We moved up here just to kind of have more nature in our lives.
And more cold?
And more rain, yeah.
And more rain.
It's been a good move for us. I think it's been the hardest for me to adjust. But my daughter and my husband are both really thriving up here. So I'm just cold all the time. So I want to live where you live.
So we met in the Mixer Mind. Like,
The
listeners listening and like, where, how do you guys know each other? Other than me sliding into your DMs, then we found out that we actually were in the same Mixer Mind, which is this awesome concept about people who just want to collab. Mm-hmm. And here we are, like exchanging ideas, kind of like a mastermind, but also collaborating on purpose, which I feel like is amazing, don't you?
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
And to have an environment where the culture and the shared agreement is we are all here to collaborate and to like leverage our relationships and connections with each other to move our missions forward. I think a lot of times in the online space, we can just make that way more complicated than it needs to be, because it's like, well, I got to get to know them first and let me have a coffee chat. And then like we insert all these extra steps when really what we both know we want to do is collaborate. So Linda's so smart for putting that together.
She really is genius. Like I looked at her business and I was like, wow. And then I started tallying up the numbers because it's not like an expensive thing to join, but there's like 100 people in there. And I was like, this is a good revenue stream for just helping people meet. I almost said hookup, meet up.
All right.
So, okay. So where exactly in Oregon are you though?
I'm in Portland.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I got it right.
Yeah.
Right, cool.
Yeah.
And I do feel qualified to stay and talk about the weather because I did spend the first 27 years of my life, grew up in Tacoma. So just up across the river into the other state. And then I went to college in Seattle and was there for like 10 years. So
where'd you go? And UW.
Wait.
Same.
Really? Yep. What year did you graduate?
I graduated in 98.
Okay. So you beat me by just a little bit. I graduated in 04.
Oh, I beat you by quite a bit. We weren't there. We didn't overlap, but.
Well, I mean, that's not quite a bit. Maybe back then.
I think I'm trying to be old today. Can you do that? That's like the second reference I've made.
I'm not going to let you. Like, yeah, no, I finished high school in 99, went straight to UW. Mm-hmm. So, hold on. You immigrated, you said, to the States as a kid.
Yep. And so grew up in Ferndale, Washington. If you are from Tacoma, maybe you've heard of Ferndale.
I don't think so.
Or Bellingham. Have you heard of Bellingham?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Sure. So Ferndale, Marysville, Warm Lake. No, something. Anyway, Ferndale.
Yeah. Ferndale.
Okay. All right. Cool. And what age did you immigrate at? Because
10. Oh, I was young. I was a 10-year-old.
How do you still have an accent if you immigrated at 10?
Do I have an accent?
A slight one. My wife is from Michigan. And so I ask people if they have. Like when I hear the accent, and usually somebody will say, oh, no, I'm not from Michigan. I'm from Canada, you know, just up north, Toronto nearby.
Yeah, it's similar. I don't know. Canadians are really nice. So maybe I'm nice and this is how nice people talk. I have no idea.
It could be. We're going to go with that one. I like that. Yeah, I like that one. Let's go with that. No, something intriguing that is not related at all to online business, but when I was in university, one of the things I did is worked with this organization called FIUTES. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of them?
No.
It's like friendship, international friendship through university students that trust. Oh, I'm butchering what it stands for. But basically, it was an on-campus club where international students could basically go and gather and congregate, right? And make friends on purpose, like with a bunch of folks who like were on campus and not international students, but regular students, and just wanted to go meet people from different countries. And like, I guess their whole existence, like the whole premise was like, you know, you go and you study abroad somewhere, you're new, like, but why did you go there? Usually to like immerse yourself in the culture or for language reasons, or like you're at a university and want to test into it eventually. Like you're doing undergrad, but you want to do upper grad there. And so the reason I brought this up was because there were Canadians in, I guess, the cohort of international students that came in that year. And that was the first time that, like, I had studied in France before and come back. And so that's why I was there, because I wanted to meet people from all over the world.
Yeah. But
I remember sitting down at, like, tables and, like, you know, over games and just doing the college student meet new friends thing. And I remember people telling me who were from Canada that, the language is the same. Like they're like, actually the culture is really different. And because, you know, lots of themes about connecting and relating and kind of plugging in came up. And I was intrigued. That was like the first time that I had deep conversations with folks who, let's say, could have been from like the UK or Australia, or in this specific case, Canada. So do you remember any of this kind of cross-cultural assimilation going on that was difficult, that was intriguing, that was a bit mysterious when you immigrated at 10?
That's such a good question. I think as a 10-year-old, I was pretty adaptable.
Okay, yeah.
I can remember my dad being so stressed out about his accent. really wanting to lose his accent quickly. So that was a thing. We would practice not saying A at the end of every sentence.
Really?
He was really, and I should ask him why that was, but he was very concerned about sounding Canadian. But I think as I'm hearing myself say this, I think for him, and this is a core value for me, belonging really matters. And that is a part of Canadian culture. I think belonging is a higher priority, is a high priority in Canadian culture. So maybe we would just really practice talking American. Wow. And there are certain words that are just slightly different, like a garbage disposal. We called it a garburator.
For real? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. A colored liquid paper. So whiteout was called liquid paper.
Okay. All right.
And colored pencils were called pencil crayons. So every once in a while I would say a word and people would be like, what are you, what are you talking about? Yeah. But I think in general in our family, he was so concerned with belonging, but all the kids, I think we had, you just kind of slide into school.
I don't know. I feel like at that age, we really just want to belong too, because that's basically pre-teen. What is 10? I used to be a teacher.
Fourth grade.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
yeah. I feel like many of the kids in my fourth grade class back in China were pretty self-conscious, if not evolving into being very self-conscious of themselves and how they related with everyone else.
Yeah. Well, I think developmentally, 9 and 10 years old, kids really go through this evolution where they, for the first time, are acutely aware that they are alone in the world, to be kind of dramatic about it. They really experience, my daughter's going through this, so I've been doing a lot of research. They experience this developmentally where they feel separate from, in a time where what they need is to feel togetherness. So a lot of parents think, so behavioral issues will kind of come up, but it's just these kids developing and making their way in the world. But a lot of parents think there's a big problem to solve here because it can be different. I was saying to my husband, I'm like, oh, our kid, she just got like the latest, greatest Mac and we are operating on MS-DOS. We need to upgrade our operating system big time because she is. Yeah. So that's, I don't know how that came up, but this is what happens before you hit record. Right.
Yeah,
but
this is what happens. Like, it's all cool details. Does it get easier? I have a 7-year-old daughter. So that's my main question. Does it get easier?
It gets harder and better.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I have friends with teenagers, right? But I don't know. For me, I have one job with my daughter, and that is for her to know without a doubt that no matter what, I trust her. And she can therefore come to me with anything. If that's all we get out of this, I have succeeded as a parent. That's really important to me.
Wow.
And that requires work. We also don't do television in our house. We're a screen-free family.
Awesome. I believe in that.
And that's a lot of commitment too. So does it get easier? I mean, it's just such a moving target, right? But it gets deeper. Maybe that's the word. It gets deeper.
You've probably heard the saying, if you want to make money, serve people. If you want to make a lot of money, serve lots of people. But how do you do that when you're already super short on hours in your day? So if you're on my email list already, then you know that I'm speaking at the Platform and Profit Summit. It's 100% free, and it's a 3-day virtual summit to help you better position yourself and your brand to create even more partnership and profits. Plus, in addition to discussing Facebook ads, I'll also be speaking on a panel called Positioning Yourself and Business for More Connections and Collaborations. Like, if you've ever wondered how I'm meeting all of these cool guests that are appearing on this podcast, that you're just getting so much knowledge and info from, well, I'll be sharing that during that panel too. And it all starts May 1st. That's this Wednesday in a few days. Because, well, what if you could quit funding all of your events and projects and launches out of pocket and learn how to leverage the power of sponsorships? And I love this because I hate theory. I never did well with theory in school. I just like practical, actionable advice from people who are actually doing it right now, not what worked for them like 5 years ago. So like, what if you could generate consistent cash flow for your business or increase income while also reaching your lifestyle goals? You know, that reason that you started the business in the first place. Like, what if you could build credibility and influence while creating consistent partnerships and profit to grow your business? Me and about 30 other expert trainees or trainers, sorry, are going to share our strategies to help you create partnerships and profits, plus the mistakes that we've made so you can avoid them. And I can't stress this too much. This is what's working now, not last year, not the year before, but what we all are doing in our businesses now. So you ready to finally have more partnerships and profit in your online business? Use the link below to register for free. The Platform and Profit Virtual Summit, it's a 3-day free, 100% free summit, and it starts this Wednesday, May 1st. Learn how to better position yourself and create an even better partnerships so you can finally create the profits you desire in your business. I can't wait to see you there. Chat soon. All right, back to the episode. So I'm thinking about the dynamics in my family, mm-hmm. like where I fulfill a very typical role of, I guess it used to be typical, of like the husband going away to work, except for I disappear upstairs, right?
Yeah.
And my wife handles more of like the day-to-day just living. I feel like I'm very privileged, you know, I get to be up here and just deal with business and work stuff, but that kind of pales in comparison to my two kids. I feel like they're literally trying to pull my wife's brains and like out in multiple directions all the time, you know? And yet she raises these two little people and I just have so much like respect for her. How are the dynamics in your family? And like, are they mm-hmm. completely flipped, kind of flipped, or are you doing like both, mm-hmm. running the successful business and at the same time, like, I don't know, doing all the shuttling of your daughter to after school activities if she has those? And like,
yeah,
how does that work? Yeah.
Our family dynamic is definitely non-traditional.
Okay.
Thank God for Andrew, because he does a lot of the almost all of the shuttling, right? He's the school bus driver. That's cool. Which is, he's out of town this week, so I'm the school bus driver, and that is a huge responsibility.
Yeah.
But you know, I also do a lot. It's not a 50-50 split, right? Because I'm just going to be so gendered and stereotypical in what I'd say next. So forgive me for that. But no, okay. I'm a mom, right? Yeah. And there are certain things that moms just do better.
Sure. I will agree.
So yeah. So, but we make it work. We make it work for sure.
Cool. That's really cool. So this one is kind of more headed towards business and mm-hmm. the next episode that we're going to record or after this session, but like you, yeah. the listener, get to hear this 2 days later or even a week later. But you talk about values. That's one thing I noticed when I read your bio, because I'm only just meeting you for real in like in real virtual life,
yeah.
all the way down here from Mexico all the way up there to Oregon. But you mentioned values, and I'm scrolling up in this document, which is literally a document. Like, I don't know if anybody who hasn't recorded a podcast knows how you do it, but you have a guest on the podcast and they submit a bio and what they want to talk about and their favorite flavor of jelly bean, which was not a question, but right on the spot, what's your favorite flavor of jelly bean?
Oh, I love gummy candies. Jelly beans, not so much, but like Swedish fish.
Okay.
Anytime, all the time.
Cool. That is my wife's favorite candy is those red Swedish fish.
Yep.
So I'm quite familiar with those. See, that's what I'm talking about. Random stuff. Like I'm scrolling through here and jelly beans pop into my mind and out of my mouth it went. But you talk about values and I'm very curious, like, how do you feel like, since you're known as like a value-driven business mentor, like, where did that come from?
Wow. I don't know if I can answer that. I don't know that there was a point of origin.
Okay.
But here's what I can tell you. I think for a lot, especially the entrepreneurs I serve who are coaches, this work, a lot of coaches coach because of their own lived experience. So it's hard to differentiate me, the human, from my business. Okay. And when I understand what matters most to me and live in that place when I make any sort of decision in my life or in my work, the decision is obvious. It's not easy. Often it's more challenging. It's not the easy route, but it's the obvious route. And when I lean into my values, I am so confident and rooted in what how I'm showing up as a mom, how I'm showing up as a coach, how I'm here with you today. So it does, it just makes the path so clear and obvious and also deep and fulfilling. So especially in the online space where there's no shortage of strategies, right? So many things that we could try or business models to copy. It's loud.
Yeah.
So really rooting into your values is the thing that quiets the noise. And, you know, I've been in business for a long time, 23 years. And
online business then. You had another business.
Oh, I had like a brick and mortar, but I was still coaching, right?
Yeah.
And I think I have staying power because I lead with my values. Your values, and it kind of doesn't matter what they are, right? But they will always do right by you.
Okay. Staying power because you lead with your values. Is that like a people like to work with value-based entrepreneurs? Is that like when life gets tough, like your values guide you through? Like, how has that been?
Yeah. Again, it's not, I don't want people to think it's funny. I'll tell you this story.
Sure. Yeah.
The first time I ever did like a values assessment, have you ever done something like that where it's a page with maybe 60 different things that might matter to you, ranging from green living, right, to integrity, or just a whole bunch of values, and you pick your top five. So I was at this seminar sitting next to someone and I was looking at her sheet. So I'm picking my values and she's picking hers, and they were very different. I would put hers in the category of being noble. Right. Like she had family and generosity and caring, like these soft, noble values. And my values were things like ambition, right? And autonomy. So, and I judged myself right away. I thought, oh, I'm a selfish asshole because I care about ambition and money and autonomy. And she's a kind, loving person because of the values she chose. I just really felt that. Wow. Right.
Okay. All right.
But then, you know, as I'm having this conversation with myself, I realized if I don't, first of all, admit to myself and then embrace what's true for me, I can't live into any of these values on this list. So it's not about like people like values-driven entrepreneurs. It's not like having what your values are is way less important than understanding and accepting what they are. And when you can do that, you move through rough patches with grace and ease. When you mess up, you know how to course correct. So values are, they're just such a valuable, they're a necessary compass.
This is where we're going to finish the episode.
Okay.
Because there's just points where you need to end. And that was a very good point. In the next one, I want to go deeper into the values that you have and how you coach other people to be led by their values in online business so that they can have what you said, staying power, I think. Mm-hmm. And also, I do want to know about the, I'm looking at my notes again, but you wrote how the unscalable activities often bring an incredibly high ROI. You just got a combination of really intriguing ideas. So with that, thank you for being and allowing yourself just to like hang out and get to know and share things that you might not have ever shared before on this Before We Hit Record segment.
Thanks for having me. This is really fun.
Absolutely. We're going to hop into the other studio and
all right, let's do it.
But thanks for listening and thanks for watching. And until you see me or hear me again, be blessed and goodbye. Don't forget to head down to the show notes below and register for the Platform and Profit Summit that starts May 1st, this Wednesday, where you're going to hear just practical advice that's working right now, this year in 2024, not in years past, right? Like how to build a 90-day evergreen funnel that actually works. Presented by Corinne Crabtree. Heard of her? How about minimalist marketing? How to get more eyes on your business by doing less? Or what about 5 simple website fixes to get more clients? I'm not going to read through all of these good talks and strategy sessions, but what you got to take away is this is not theory. It's what's working in people's business. These experts that are speaking, they're sharing the good stuff, behind the scenes stuff. And, you know, I'll be speaking there too on a panel about how to position yourself and your business for more connections and collaborations, because really it's partnering and collaborating with people that brings authority, that brings in steady revenue and profit into my business. So I want you guys to learn and take away strategies and tips and tricks and real systems that you can put to work in your business right now. That link is in the show notes below. Sign up is 100% free, but it does start May 1st. That's in a couple days from now, and I'll see you there. Take care. Bye.